Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Las Vegas. How many, just show of hands, how many folks are here from overseas? Over half the organization. On behalf of both the Department of Energy and the American Nuclear Society, which I'm a member, welcome to the conference. We're glad you're here. I don't, for those of you who are from the international community, I'm not sure where your respective countries are regarding new nuclear plant build. But here in the U.S., obviously there is a lot of interest in building new nuclear power plants. But anytime the subject of nuclear power comes up, there's always one question that's asked. What about the waste? What are you going to do about the waste? And this has been a question that we in the industry here in the U.S. have, in a way, struggled with, but have tried to answer over a number of years. I want to talk about today what we're doing in the U.S. about answering that question and the progress we've made over the last 2 years to get us to a point where we are today, where I think we're a lot closer to being able to answer that question going forward. Where I'd like to start off is to talk about where this program was in July of 2006. I entered my job in June of 2006, and I was immediately asked to come before a committee of Congress in the House of Representatives and to give a report on the status of the Yucca Mountain program. In the U.S. Congress, there is a lot of interest in Yucca Mountain and a lot of interest in nuclear power. And they asked me to come and to tell them where the program was and when they could expect to see some action and some results from it. And quite frankly, at that point in time, Congress was very frustrated with the Department of Energy because we were not able to give them a schedule. Any schedule we had given them in the past, we had missed. And we really didn't have a very good game plan of how we were going to move the program forward. And so in July of 2006, I went in front of Congress and I presented a multi-year milestone schedule to them of exactly what I said we would do to move the program forward. Suffice it to say that that schedule was met with a lot of skepticism, not only from the folks in Congress, but from the press and from the public, because they knew the history of the Department of Energy in not being very good at meeting dates and milestones. So what I'd like to do first today is to go back and revisit those dates and milestones that I told Congress in July of 2006 that we were going to do on the Yucca Mountain program and where we actually are relative to those milestones. The first milestone I gave them was that we would complete the preliminary engineering that was needed to file a license application by November of 2007, by the end of November of 2007. We actually completed that work December 1st, 2007, on schedule. The next major milestone was that we would certify, as required by our regulations, the Licensing Support Network, or LSN. And for those of you in this audience, I'm sure that the vast majority of you have had the opportunity to go on the www.lsn.net and take a look at the volumes of data that we now have on that public repository of data about the repository. DOE had tried to certify that collection several years ago and failed miserably. And not only did we meet the date, but we beat the date that I had set, and we actually certified the LSN on October 19th of 2007. The next major milestone was that we recognized that as the design had evolved, that we needed to supplement our final environmental impact statement, or EIS. And for those of you in the business, as you all are, I think you know the amount of significant work that's involved in generating an environmental impact statement for something like a repository. And we had already issued a final in 2002. We had determined we needed to supplement it significantly given our advanced design and advanced post-closure analyses. And as a result, we decided to do that. That required us to hold hearings, to issue a draft, hold hearings, resolve public comments, of which there were tens of thousands, and issue a final environmental impact statement. I said we would do that by the end of May of 2008, And we actually did that 2 weeks late on June 16th of 2008. And the reason we were 2 weeks late is because I gave the public comment period 4 more weeks than what we had originally estimated. So we missed that by 2 weeks, but because we gave the public comment period a 4 week extension. And finally, I said, I put a stake in the ground and said we would submit a docketable, high quality license application to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to get a construction authorization for Yucca Mountain no later than June 30th, 2008. And this certainly was something that everybody grasped at and focused on and told us, told me, it would never be done. As a matter of fact, there were people in our own program who said it wouldn't happen. Well, as we know now, we actually submitted that license application on June 3rd, about 4 weeks early. And that, as you'll see by my last bullet there, we were anticipating docketing and acceptance of that license application sometime this month. It happened this morning. And so, as you'll see, we have made substantial progress over the past 24 months, and we have met, or essentially met, every milestone that I set out to Congress in July of 2006. So I submit to you that the Yucca Mountain program here in the U.S. is back on track and moving well towards coming to fruition. I'd like to just talk about a little bit more about what we have been doing in the last 24 months to meet those milestones. And the milestones sound kind of high level, but there were a significant number of very detailed deliverables that were needed to meet those milestones and were needed to support the end deliverables. Obviously, we submitted the license application in June. We submitted the final repository supplemental EIS also in June, two huge documents just by themselves. But in addition to those, we submitted the final rail alignment EIS for the rail line going through Nevada to get to the repository, a supplemental EIS on the Nevada Transportation Corridor, and the so those were three actual major actions, federal actions, EISs, that we had to submit this year, which we did on time and on schedule and on budget. In addition, maybe you read about it, last month we issued the new updated total system lifecycle cost estimate for Yucca, what the total repository program is going to cost from the time it was started to the time we closed the repository down over about 150 years. And we took a look at and we analyzed the adequacy of the 1 mil per kilowatt hour fee that the nuclear industry pays to the federal government to pay for the repository program. And we made a determination that I'll get rid of that, Steve. There you go. What the total cost of the repository program would be, and that the fee, 1 mil per kilowatt hour fee, was in fact still adequate. We have two more reports that we're just about ready to issue. One is on the need for a second repository in the U.S. That's required by the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. And a report that was requested by Congress on the what would be required to put together an interim, centralized interim storage facility to take spent nuclear fuel from shutdown nuclear plants here in the U.S. Bottom line is, I hope what this tells you is, there has been a significant amount of work being done by the department and its suppliers and contractors that back up all these deliverables that we have produced over the last 24 months. And I would like to ask, anybody in the audience who is either Department of Energy employees or the labs and our contractors who work together to make the license application happen, the EISs happen, could you please stand up and be recognized? Thank you very much. I'll tell you, this to get this kind of a production of high quality, highly technical work out of the federal government does not happen every day. And it certainly doesn't, at least not in the U.S. And it wouldn't happen without having some very great people, very smart people, heck of a lot smarter than I am, and the ability to come together and work as a team. And a number of the people that stood up have been on this program for years, for significant portions of their careers. And quite frankly, they've met with varying degrees of success and frustration over the years. I can tell you this set of accomplishments that this team has put together over the last 24 months is among the best I've ever seen in my professional career of 30 years. And I have a very, very high confidence level that this team, with the people we have, with the way they work together, with the barriers they were able to overcome this year, this team is set up for long-term success in moving the U.S. repository program forward. I've been very proud to work with them. But let me take a little bit of a look ahead. Going back to that same congressional hearing in 2006, there were some other milestones that I laid out for the future that we're not going to meet. And there's going to be a recurring theme you're going to hear as we talk about this, and it is lack of funding, despite the fact we have $21 billion in our nuclear waste fund. I talked at Congress that we would start construction of the Nevada rail line in October of 2009. That's not going to happen. I talked about starting construction of Yucca in September of 2011. That assumes a 36-month review and positive decision by the NRC on the license application. I think that's a low probability event. All of us who have been involved in NRC proceedings, particularly knowing what we know about this one, this is going to take at least the congressionally mandated 48 months, and it may even take longer. But that's the best we could do. We still need to submit application for an operating license for the repository, tentatively in 2013, but that's predicated on the construction schedule and funding. We expected to have the rail line operational by 2014. 2016 is the earliest we could do that. One of the things that I didn't put up here that you need to be aware of is all of the things we delivered here in the last 24 months to the NRC and the other publications were accomplished in spite of Congress giving us $100 million less in fiscal year 07 and $100 million less in fiscal year 08 than what the President had asked for from the Congress. So despite significant budget reductions in the appropriations process, we were still able to deliver on these commitments. Another major accomplishment for DOE and its team. Then, of course, the last item up here is our best achievable date. If everything went right, when could the repository open here in the U.S.? And I said March 2017 is our best achievable date. That date has now slipped to 2020. And again, that slip is primarily because of the $100 million less in 07, $100 million less in 08 than what we asked for, and I'd say a realistic appraisal of what Congress is likely to give us during this license application review process over the next 3 or 4 years. From our cash flows, we know that we're going to need between $1.5 and $1.9 billion a year to build the repository on a fast-track basis. And right now our funding is in the neighborhood of $350 to $400 million a year. And so that funding is going to need to be stepped up quite a bit by Congress in order for us to meet that March 2020 best achievable date. But even that date won't be met if the funding issues are not resolved on the U.S. program. So let me go to my last slide and just kind of summarize. So where is the U.S. program today? I'm going to start with the challenges. Everybody, I'm sure, is aware that we're about to transition into a new administration. And depending on who you're talking to and who you listen to on the campaign trail, one of the candidates here in the U.S. is very much for nuclear and for moving forward with Yucca Mountain. The other candidate has come out publicly, especially here in Nevada, saying that they're against moving forward with Yucca Mountain. So there's obviously a lot of uncertainty in the political realm regarding the program going forward. I'm going to make a prediction. My prediction is, regardless of who wins the election, regardless, the regulatory review and the NRC review of the license application will continue until a decision is made by the NRC. And why do I say that? And I really have 4 points that I want to make regarding this, what I call political uncertainty going forward. One is that regardless of what candidates say on the stump as they're campaigning, the reality is the U.S. has the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. It's the law. And the law was passed by both houses of Congress, and it's the responsibility of the Department of Energy to execute the law. Secretary Bodman makes that point all the time. The law says DOE is to design a repository for Yucca Mountain and apply to the NRC to get a construction authorization, and NRC is to have 3 to 4 years to make that decision on whether or not that construction authorization can be issued. So number one is, it's the law, we're executing the law. Number two, while it's very obvious and clear, I think to most folks, that there's a great amount of opposition to the repository program here in the state of Nevada, I need to remind folks that there are 39 states that have spent nuclear fuel and high-level waste in them. So that if a new administration was to decide that they wanted to stop this NRC licensing proceeding from going forward, there would be significant discussions with the other 39 states about what the administration planned to do with the high-level waste and spent nuclear fuel in their states. So there are 39 states out there, at least, who want to see this program go forward. Third, one of the key things you always hear about people who are against the repository program is calling into question its safety. They don't think the site is safe. They don't think the repository is safe. Well, the answer to that question, or that series of questions, is about to be answered by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's their job. They're the independent technical experts that the U.S. government has determined, and the U.S. Congress has determined, to review the various technical documents and technical analyses and make the determination as to whether or not the U.S. repository at Yucca Mountain can in fact be built and operated safely. So it's not the politicians who are going to make that decision. It's not the Congress who's going to make that decision. It's the NRC that's going to make that decision. And we're now at the point in the program where all of that documentation and all that analysis is in front of the NRC. And as of today, they've accepted that application to begin their formal review, their technical review. And so we're exactly where we need to be to answer the question, can we build and operate this repository safely here in the U.S.? And finally, the last point about why I'm not really concerned about the repository program stopping after the change of administrations is that on a going forward basis, the issue of taxpayer liability, the billions of dollars that the taxpayers are already liable for because DOE has not picked up commercial spent nuclear fuel from around the country per its existing valid contracts with the nuclear plant operators. And if the repository program was to be stopped, whoever made that decision would have to make it with one of the factors being, what are you going to do with all the spent nuclear fuel that's out there that the federal government currently has a contract to take, and the liability associated with those partially breached contracts continues to grow. So between the fact that it's the law, there are 39 states that have spent nuclear fuel and high-level waste, the safety issues being decided, and the liability issue, I think all speak very highly to the probability that this repository program in the U.S. is going to continue, regardless of what happens with a change of administrations. Second issue going forward, the challenge is access to the Nuclear Waste Fund. The Nuclear Waste Fund is funded by the nuclear ratepayers, people who benefit from the nuclear power in the country at 1 mil per kilowatt hour. It currently has a balance of about $21 billion in it. And Congress created that fund specifically to fund this program with the funding it needed to move it forward on a fast-track basis. Unfortunately, because of changes in the laws that I won't go through over the years, the Department of Energy does not have access to those funds at this time to build a repository. And it's up to Congress to change the budgetary regulations that they work to so that DOE can, in fact, have access to that waste fund. And if we did, with just the revenues coming in each year from the utilities, which is about $750 million, and the revenues coming in from the interest on the balance in the waste fund, and that interest accounts to about $900 million a year, just having access to the interest and the revenue is enough money cash flow wise to let us build the repository and start it up without even touching the corpus of the waste fund. So that is a major, major issue that will determine how and when this repository gets built after the NRC gives us a construction authorization. And then finally, our third biggest challenge is staffing, is how do we compete with the private sector as the nuclear renaissance grows here in the U.S. to get the kind of people we need to help us build and operate the repository. And I'm sure a number of you have the same issues in your line of business. So let me kind of close with, again, highlighting the successes of the U.S. program in the last 24 years. High-quality license applications submitted and accepted by the NRC, certified the licensing support network. The quality assurance problems that plagued this program back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we have fixed, and that's been verified by a number of outside independent assessments. We have begun negotiations with companies that want to build new nuclear plants here in the U.S. If you're not aware of the U.S. law, if you want to build a nuclear plant in the U.S., the Nuclear Regulatory Commission cannot give you a license to operate that plant unless you have a contract with the Department of Energy to take your spent fuel. And so we have now begun negotiations with several potential new plant owners to put in place a contract to allow them to meet that regulatory requirement. Hopefully we'll have one of those concluded soon. We have a very good defense team in place to support the defense of the license application in front of the NRC and in our hearing process. And we have an excellent DOE senior management team now in place that I think can move this whole program forward. And finally, and probably most importantly, I believe we have restored the credibility in Congress about DOE's ability to pull this program off and move it forward. Very, very important as we go forward. So I guess the way I'd like to summarize this talk is, number one, I think we made substantial progress in the U.S. repository program over the last 24 months. And when we go back to that original question that I started off with, so what about the waste? I think we're 36 to 48 months away from being able to have a construction authorization from the NRC, giving us authorization to build a repository, so that we won't have to answer the question in the U.S. anymore, what about the waste? We will have the answer. Thank you very much.
Okay, we are open for questions from the audience.
You mentioned NOPA, the Nuclear Waste Policy Act.
Nuclear Waste Policy Act.
That it exists, yes.
Yes.
But Congress could modify it or change it.
You are absolutely correct. Congress could change that law. I will tell you that in the two-plus years I've been in this job now, I've done, I forget the exact number, but it's probably pretty close to 8 hearings on Yucca Mountain, both oversight and appropriations in front of both the House and the Senate. The overwhelming bipartisan mood in both houses is keep Yucca going forward, regardless of what you might read. And that the, I believe it would be extremely difficult to get that law changed. Because it will bring into play those 39 states plus some of their surrounding states that want that nuclear waste out of their states. It's going to bring them right into play. I personally don't, I give that a very, very low probability event number in terms of changing that law anytime in the next 3 to 4 years.
Other questions?
It's a connected question then. What about the other part of the nuclear policy law, which says 70,000 tons and what is the, what will your report say about the second repository?
The report will say, number one, that and just to provide context for those of you in the audience who aren't aware of the issue, the Nuclear Waste Policy Act set a limit, a legislative limit on the amount of high-level nuclear waste that could be stored at Yucca Mountain at 70,000 metric tons heavy metal. And that number is based on the front end of the fuel cycle. So it doesn't matter whether we go once through or recycle and we do volume reduction, doesn't matter. I could take, if I got 71,000 metric tons and reduce it to the size of this thing, I couldn't put it in Yucca Mountain because of the existing law. Here in the U.S., the existing nuclear fleet will have produced its full allocation of Yucca Mountain in the next approximately 18 months. So essentially by spring of 2010, Yucca Mountain is full based on the 70,000 metric ton limit. We the administration have already sent up to Congress twice, the last Congress and again this Congress, a request to lift the 70,000 metric ton limit because there's no technical basis for it. And we requested that the NRC be given the authority to determine what the licensed capacity of the repository should be based on its technical evaluations. Congress did not act on either of those two pieces of legislation. The report is going to point out that the preferred recommendation is to lift that limit, that administrative limit, that the repository will be full by early of 2010 if that limit's not removed. And then we'll talk about what's required and what recommendations and options Congress has or should think about giving us, the department, if they decide that lifting the 70,000 metric tons is not what they want to do. And basically one of the things the report will also tell them are, it'll summarize where else we have looked in the U.S. for siting a repository and the and where those investigations were when they were terminated, and basically give them some suggestions of other parts of the country that might be amenable to or might be appropriate for hosting a repository if in fact they want us to build a second one.
Ward, I was wondering, what do you think was the key that allowed you and the program to largely meet the milestones over the last 24 months, whereas in the past, previous others in the program have largely failed?
I think the primary reason was, quite frankly, we at the Department of Energy changed our mindset and approach to how we were going to manage the program. The mindset that I found when I got to DOE was a mindset of the feds essentially being hands-off critiquers. You know, the feds would like to send nasty letters to the contractors and the labs and telling you how badly you screwed up, but not taking any responsibility or any accountability for moving the program forward. I decided we would not be successful that way, and therefore, working with the senior management of our primary contractor, BSC, Sandia, the other primary contractors, we got together and said, USGS, we got together and said, we're not gonna manage the program this way. We are gonna sink or swim together as a team, and that we're gonna hold each other accountable for getting done what we said we were gonna do. And if any of us need help, the others are gonna come to their help and help them out. And so we really focused on working together as a team and holding each other accountable, and that's the difference.